Finding our true identity. There's an old adage which runs, where two or three are gathered in my name, they're probably talking about me. It's meant to be humorous, but it does point to a very common syndrome, which is more or less serious for many people on the planet, and that is that many of us worry about what other people are thinking of us. Of course, there are a few people who really don't care what other people think of them, either because they're not thinking hard enough about how they come across, or because they are so full of pride that they just assume everyone thinks they're wonderful, or because they are secure in themselves and have a healthy emotional life. But that isn't most people. Worry about what people think of us can have various symptoms. Terror at the prospect of public speaking, over-concern about our appearance, extreme shyness, losing sleep over previous conversations we'd had during the day, social embarrassment and the inability to look people straight in the face, or conversely, being excessively delighted or pathetically grateful when someone affirms us or pays us a compliment. One subtle but unmistakable symptom can be self-deprecating humour, where we give in to the temptation of stabbing ourselves up front before someone else stabs us in the back. There's a reason why that kind of humour is called disarming. Worry about how we present ourselves can also result in being overly cautious in what we say, so that conversation becomes a minefield where we try to avoid any wrong steps, so much so that social interchanges lurch along like a wagon with three wheels. Fear of how others judge us can tempt us to judge other people as a kind of defence mechanism, under the well-tried military maxim that the best form of defence is attack. We may be tempted to criticise someone else if we feel threatened by that person, and we can cultivate a habit of dividing humanity into us and them, where we are in the in crowd, along with a handful of like-minded friends, and everyone else is beyond the pale. All of these strategies or habits are usually based on an inaccurate and inadequate picture of who we are. Perhaps it's an inferiority complex, or perhaps the inferiority complex we have masquerades as bluster and bravado, or perhaps it's insecurity about whether we're worthwhile, acceptable, or even tolerable. Not everyone suffers from these kinds of hang-ups all of the time. Well-adjusted people don't tend to go about questioning their worth as a person. Perhaps they only do that when they encounter a setback, like being harshly criticised, unjustly accused, or attacked for something they did. But in general, if you have a healthy emotional life, a happy disposition, and a fairly sunny outlook on life, you can go through life without questioning whether you are lovable or not. Many of us suffer from social fears because of hurts we have experienced in the past, especially if we have experienced rejection or neglect early in life. Part of the healing for those wounds involves regularly, daily in fact, coming before the Lord and allowing Him to love us. There is a certain amount of vulnerability we need in our relationship with the Lord if we are to begin to mend and become whole. When we know that we are loved by God and we begin to live out of our true identity as a beloved son or daughter, then what other people think of us becomes less and less important. When we realise that we can trust that God has our best interest at heart and that He is constantly looking for ways to convince us of His love, then that gives us a newfound confidence. We become less defensive and self-protective because we know that the various ups and downs of life and our interactions with other people have lost the power to stir up our old wounds. Part of the spiritual battle in the Christian life involves coming against the lies that the enemy tries to feed us. It's quite common for us to hear the internal voice that tells us that we are not worthy, that we are not good enough, that we are shameful, stupid, ugly, or insignificant. It becomes easier to combat those voices when we focus on what God tells us about ourselves. What does he tell us? Scripture can help us here. This is what we find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. He found him in a desert land, and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he guarded him as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. The Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. And in the prophet Isaiah we read, "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him." God does not condemn us. On the contrary, he is on our side. He defends us from evil. He loves us tenderly. He protects us and comes to save us. In fact, he loves us so much that when he saw how destitute and sinful we were, he did not strike us from the face of the earth, but instead decided to do the only thing that would save us and allow us to be healed. He sent his only son, Jesus, into the world, not just to teach us about God or even to work miracles, but to die for us. As St. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 6, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You would think that a just God would punish sin and condemn those who had sinned, but he doesn't. Instead, he has compassion and rushes to forgive us and heal our wounds. So this poses the question: if we are loved by God, who alone has the right to crush us, then what does it matter what other people think of us? As St. Paul says later in Romans 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one." If we could just hold on to that thought, all would be well. But often we don't. Often we're apprehensive about other people's opinions of us. Often we can care too much about being accepted by those around us, being approved of and affirmed by human beings. So how do we hold on to that key truth? How can we begin to live life as if the only thing that mattered is what God thinks of us? We need to go every day to the source of truth. We need to spend time every day with the God who loves us. We need to carve out time in our day for prayer, to sit before the loving God and bask in that love. We need to allow him to minister healing to us. Yes, we have been damaged by life, hurt by relationships we have been in, betrayed and rejected. But he is the source of our healing. He will enable us to find happiness, even in the midst of persecution and hatred, even though no one else cares for us, even though we may be ignored or rejected. Let's pray and ask God to reveal his love to us. Heavenly Father, we are wounded by life, but we long to be made whole. Show us your love. Free us from the lies of the enemy who would tell us that we are worthless and unlovable. Open to us the way of true happiness, knowing that you care for us, approve of us, and are trying to break into our lives with love. Amen.